Welcome to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the SportsMap Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson. At Mr. Cole Thompson, if you want to follow me on Twitter, 800-224-2004. Call into the show. Give us your thoughts, what you like, what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this gorgeous face behind the microphone. I have a face made for radio. Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing, and we got a great hour ahead. Two-minute warning in about 6 minutes. Two new coaching hires in the realm of college football, and the biggest surprise, except it isn't in really college football if you break it down. But I start the hour off with this. To anybody out there who does not believe that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in NBA history, go ahead and check yourself out right now. Go ahead and close the door, wrap yourself up in your blanket, and go ahead and sit down and realize, I am insane. I need to go to an asylum. I need to go ahead and get my brain checked, because if you do not understand just how deadly the man with the ball in his hand is, after getting a 126-95 victory over the Orlando Magic, Golden State Warriors point guard is now 16 three-pointers away from breaking Ray Allen's all-time three-point record after knocking down 7 in the game. Anything is possible, he said, after the post-game. Part of the reason that he can smile is because the two-time MVP also knows that he will have Klay Thompson's single-game record of 14. Three-pointers in a row. That came in October of 2018 when he broke Curry's previous record of 13. For him to be able to do this at this age, still play at this level, like, people forget he's been in the league for over a decade, and there still is probably about another 7-8 years left in, I would say, his overall career. He is on point to have one of the biggest breakout years of all time, right back in the conversation, I think, for an MVP. Right back in the conversation to be one of the top players, you know, in the NBA once again. He is leading Golden State to the best record in the Western Conference right now. There is so much to like about him. There is so much to like about what he brings to the table. But you just look at how this Golden State team is. They thrive when Steph Curry plays lights out. So easy from behind the arc to make those shots. You can really just call him clutch. Because let's be real. He's Steph Clutch. He makes everything.
Time for the two-minute warning around the NFL. No. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed on Monday, and we do so in 2 minutes or less. That's why we call it the two-minute warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
Sorry about that. The status of Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen heading into Sunday is now in doubt. The Chargers placed Allen on the reserve COVID-19 list Monday. Allen's status for Sunday's Chargers home game against the New York Giants depends heavily on his vaccination status. A four-time Pro Bowl selection, Allen is closing in on his fifth 1,000-yard season as he has 86 catches for 929 yards and 4 touchdowns this season.
Well, let's think about this for a second. The good news is that they play the New York Giants, who are going to be having Jake Fromm, the Fromm Nation, Fromm Attack, Fromm Fabulous. We'll come up with a better nickname for him. Jake Fromm is going to be starting for the New York Giants, making his first ever career start in the NFL, which is really good news if you're the defense. But at the same time, you do have a really good number two wide receiver, arguably the second best wide receiver. The best wide receiver on the team, the best number two wide receiver in the NFL, in Mike Williams, who right now has less than 30 catches, who has 30 less catches, but almost the exact same amount of production, 7 touchdowns on the year, 15.5 yards per play, living up to expectations for what the Chargers expected when they drafted him number 7 overall going into our contract season. This is where you have to decide right now, do I want to keep him? Do I want him to remain inside of Los Angeles? Am I okay with letting him walk? And if not, how much do I owe him? Because of right now, you look at the other receivers, Jalen Guyton having a pretty decent year for being a number 3 or a number 4. Josh Palmer, a lot of people expect him to break out next season. He was a rookie this year coming out of Tennessee. And wide receiver really is not a big need for this team. But you look at the weapons that you have with the likes of Justin Herbert. You want to be able to make sure that he is solidified for years and years and years to come. So in my opinion, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, because if you're probably not going to need Keenan Allen to be successful, but you'll be able to see what you kind of have in your other guys. Guys like Guyton, guys like Palmer. And more importantly, how much someone like Mike Williams is worth. And in my opinion, I would have signed him yesterday for a high reward, you know, probably somewhere in that $50 million range. If you wanted more, I mean, I can't really say I can go that much more. But for him to be able to get a big-time profit like that for what he's done this year, I would have 100% re-signed him to a brand-new deal. Because if he really has earned it, he really has shown that he can play, I'm going to be very interested to see what he can do in this game. If he can be successful, we're in for a very, very, very good start. And I do think that Justin Herbert really has nothing to worry about in the aspect of, you know, no Keenan Allen, it's not the end of the world. Because it really isn't. It really isn't against the Giants.
The Green Bay Packers have more COVID-19 issues at the QB position. The team announced Monday that it placed backup quarterback Jordan Love on the reserve COVID-19 list after testing positive for COVID. Love is fully vaccinated and must now isolate, but is eligible to rejoin the team if he remains symptom-free and has 2 negative tests at least 24 hours apart. The backup quarterback started the Packers' Week 9 loss to Kansas City, which Aaron Rodgers missed after testing positive for COVID-19.
Thank God he's not the starter. I mean, like, let's be real. Thank God Jordan Love is not the starter. And again, I don't know if Jordan Love will ever be a starter in the NFL. I don't. I really don't know what else to make of it. But I do look right now, and they're about to go ahead and play the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. I actually do think Jordan Love would actually beat the Bears team right now. The Bears are an absolute total mess. But what's funny is, because Aaron doesn't practice, I think people are always like wondering, you know, well, what's going on with Aaron? Well, he doesn't practice during the week. He absolutely doesn't. Like, he just sits, he sits inside the building. He's getting worked on with his feet. He just kind of stays around. Kirk Benkert, the guy from Virginia, the one who became a viral icon for buying a jersey while in the store, while a fan bought his jersey. He's like, oh, I'm a huge Kirk Benkert fan. Yeah, you know who I am, right? Are you Kirk Benkert? Yeah, I am. What's up, dude? Is going to get first-team reps this week. Imagine if he actually has to play because of Aaron Rodgers can't go. Like, imagine if that happens. Or if Jordan Love can actually clear protocol and then start in this game. There's a lot of different storylines I look at right now. And one of those is, you look at the Green Bay Packers who were on a bye week. They could actually end up coming out and having to play Kirk Benkert if anything happens to Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm so interested in seeing this happen because I want to see Big Benkert. I got to find a better nickname. I really do got to find a better nickname for him. I want to see him actually get a snap in. I really do. Any single time that you go through practice, like, every single week, and you're like, oh, and then I just have to sit there because I'm first-team offense because Aaron doesn't want to practice. I want to see you be successful.
You never know. Really, he might be the future.
Why are you giving this to yourself? Who hurt you? Who hurt you, Michael?
Honestly. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, you're just saying. You're just saying. Well, I'm just saying it right here on Sports Map Radio Network.
Corey Day's first year in New York is over prematurely. Just coach Robert Saleh announced Monday that Davis is set to undergo core muscle surgery, ending his season. Davis had an up-and-down season after signing a 3-year deal worth over $37.5 million, providing some splash plays but also dropping catchable balls. In 9 games played in 2021, Davis caught 34 of 56 targets for 492 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I will say the touchdown thing is probably the best way I look at it, you know, for him to have a successful year. But keep in mind that even though he was a top 5 pick, that doesn't always happen that way. Like sometimes top 5 picks just don't pan out. And yeah, he had a breakout year in 2020, which allowed him to make top-tier money on the free agent market. But sometimes that's all it is. It's 1 year. Now, give a lot of credit to Corey Davis. he broke out big in a contract year, which means teams are going to pay triple, quadruple, extra, beyond galore to be able to go get somebody in that building. However, you got to make sure that that production is going to be warranted. And right now, that production has not been warranted. It really wasn't warranted throughout his time in Tennessee. And it's one of those things where maybe you just don't ever pan out. It was one good year. And that's something that the New York Jets have to look at. Wide receiver as a whole right now has been inconsistent as all heck. And I don't really know what you can make of this team, especially outside of Elijah Moore. He 100% will be back next year with Zach Wilson as the number one wide receiver. Maybe you will see Corey Davis back as the number two. They're probably going to go ahead and draft one in the second or third round. There's a lot of picks. I mean, the Jets have like 9 or 10 picks inside the top 100. They can go ahead and splurge on a wide receiver or two at some point, maybe in the slot, maybe on the outside. But for Robert Saleh, for Zach Wilson, for them to be successful, you got to find consistent playmakers. Corey Davis is a really good target when it comes to getting touchdowns. He had 4 on the year, and he only played in like, what, 6 games, 7 games? I mean, to me, that's 4 touchdowns, not bad. But it's the overall production I look at. I don't just look at one stat line. There's players all the time that you see get like 7, 9 touchdowns. And then you look at their stat line. Oh, they have 14 catches. So literally half their catches are touchdowns. That doesn't do enough for me. Like, that doesn't move the needle enough for me in a positive light.
The Washington football team received good news that tight end Logan Thomas did not tear his ACL following a win over the Las Vegas Raiders. Thomas will undergo further evaluation to determine the extent of the injury, but it's possible the tight end could play again this year. Thomas injured his knee when he was hit low by Raiders defensive end Yannick Ngakoue on a running play in the fourth quarter. As Thomas came across the formation to block Ngakoue, went low to avoid the hit. When asked about Ngakoue's hit on Thomas, Rivera noted he felt it was avoidable.
You know, I thought the play was avoidable. It was unfortunate that the hit occurred and it was low. You know, as a defender, you'd like to see him use his hands upon impact. It's an unfortunate play, but for the most part, as far as I was concerned, I just felt it was something that was avoidable.
Look, plays like that happen in the NFL, and we could go ahead and flip the channel real fast if you really want to. Kenyon Drake is now out for the season. Thanks a lot, guys. That was probably my only way of making sure I was solidified at the running back position in fantasy. But I digress on that. He's out for the year because of an ankle injury because of the way that the team tackled him. Washington pushed him back on his own ankle, and the weight of his body made his leg collapse. And that's why he's done for the year. So we can go ahead and say that it's fair, but both sides have to be fair in this aspect. And one side is that this happens on a consistent level every single day. Because if you want to be able to see hard-hitting plays, you want to be able to stop the tap, you want to be able to stop the offensive player, you want to be able to stop the receiver, stop the quarterback, right there in its tracks. Do I think that there needs to be some bit of a change? Absolutely, there needs to be some bit of a change. Do I think that this is probably the answer? I don't know. I really don't. And that's the crazy part, is that I don't know how to fix this. I do think that these injuries are getting way out of hand. And the way that, you know, we're watching football nowadays, how big players are, how strong they are, how much they're able to tackle quickly, go ahead and knock people the heck out. Yeah, we got to find a new way to tackle. But again, it's like the blindside block rule. It's like the excessive, you know, like when you push a player out of bounds and it's like a late hit kind of rule. It's not. Like, those aren't late hits, but at the same time, these are. Like, NFL officiating's got a lot to get through this offseason. One of the things is more than likely watching out and seeing how people tackle, but also how you go ahead and rule blindside blocks, how you go ahead and rule overall tackles as players going out of bounds, or this is that called a late hit? There's a lot that the NFL has to look into, and this is actually one of them. They have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on a road trip when the car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With the O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly Auto location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center in your area. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, what's interesting is that people say we do not give up on a team. We do not give up no matter what the record is this season. We do not give up. We are all bought in. Except, I don't believe for 1 second, for absolute 1 second, that the Chicago Bears are all bought in. I don't. And that comes down to leadership. That truly comes down to when you look at leadership and what it means to be a head coach inside of the NFL. Matt Nagy was supposed to be fired after Thanksgiving. There was a report that went out. I think it was by Patch.com again. It's a website. I know some people who work there. I don't trust them on sports. I just don't, because they don't really have any ties to sports. They've just heard it around a little bit from here to there kind of things. I look at what they said. I'm like, okay, it's finally the end. And you know what? For the first time in a while, I actually believed that that was probably the end. Because of, it's not about someone lying. It's more so about the fact that you can see players frustrated, they're annoyed, they're kind of upset, they're done. They're just done. And you look at the way that they played against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, don't get me wrong. Arizona gets back Kyler Murray. Arizona gets back DeAndre Hopkins. They're a great team. Arizona, they really just needed to get the right pieces in, spend an offseason together, not worry about COVID. This is why Cliff Kingsbury was kept. This is why I do believe that no matter what, he's not going anywhere this year. He's probably even getting an extension at the end of the season. That's how well he's done with Kyler. That's how well he's done with the offense. They're a great team. But the play calling forced Andy Dalton to make 4 interceptions. I'm not going to sit here and deny it. Andy Dalton had a bad game. Andy Dalton had a very, very, very bad game. But the play calling was just as bad as the offensive execution. That's on Matt Nagy. And Andy Dalton even said after the game, you can't win with 4 interceptions. But I view it as more so, you can't win when your team not only allows 4 interceptions, but also the play calling is designed for 4 interceptions.
You can't do that. You can't turn the ball over 4 times and expect to win the game. And that hurt us. Like I said, there's a lot of factors that go into it. But you can't do that and expect to win, especially against a really good team.
It's not that it was a really good team, which it was. It was also just a poorly designed offensive play. That honestly was just part of the reason why Chicago struggled. Chicago's offense right now is one of the worst in the NFL. They rank 29th in rushing. They rank 30th in passing. They rank 31st overall. Only the Houston Texans are worse. And it's not just Bill Lazor. It's not just the injury to Justin Fields. It's a lot of reasons. It's play call. It's play design. It's offensive line. And more importantly, it's players not buying into the culture. It's players not buying into what is being sold. You know, when somebody goes ahead and they try to sell you a product and they won't stop and they'll say, oh, well, you know, you need to go ahead and get this one. And why not get this one? And people will always try to upsell you on stuff. You're buying the product, and guess what? Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it anymore. And you know what the biggest thing is that when you finally get people to buy something and you get people to, you know, look into the conversation and believe that they can go ahead and change things, well, at the end of the day, that's great. Except if you're the product and we've bought it a million times and we still have so much extra of it, why buy it again? You know, every single time that I go to the mall, you know those people like who have those like little shop kiosk at the mall, and they're like, come buy this. Kind of basically pulling you over to the side and making you kind of sit down, and then they go ahead and try to get you to sit in their chair, and they clean off your shoes, and you're like, all right, great, now $10. Well, I didn't ask for this. You just kind of stole me away, and I did this. Well, it feels like every single week we're just trying to go, oh, well, the locker room is lost, the offense is inept, the defense isn't playing well, the offensive line is crap, and on top of all those other problems, you have a coach who no one believes in. But no, Ryan Pace, no, McCloskey family, let's go ahead and believe in him a little bit more. Let's keep shoving Matt Nagy down our throat. And Matt Nagy even said after the postgame that he believes that even though the season feels lost, it's not lost. In fact, it's just begun.
I think that's where it goes back to who the people are that you have in the room. And making sure that they understand that it's okay to be
upset. It's okay to be frustrated after a game. There's a lot of emotions. We all want to play better and coach better. They know that. But it is in these times you want to make sure that these guys are understanding that it's our job, it's our obligation to make sure that we give it everything we got, you know, and that's, we can't worry about other teams, we can't worry about other people, players, coaches. We got to just do, you know, worry about us and coach and play hard.
You don't need to worry about anyone else but your own team. But here's the problem: your own team is worried about you. They're worried about how many more games they're going to have to deal with you before you finally can. At some point, you have to just admit mistakes are mistakes. And even though Matt Nagy never had a losing season, he never won over the locker room. He never truly had his players buying into the culture after year one. He never was able to go ahead and duplicate that same success that you saw with Mitchell Trubisky in 2018 and have a transition to 2019 or 2020 or 2021. Sometimes it's not about the wins and the losses. Sometimes it's actually about the production and the morale. If morale is low inside of a locker room, you're going to play bad. If morale is high inside of a locker room, you're going to play good. Look at the Detroit Lions. They're 1-10-1. But I know for a fact people would go to war with Dan Campbell. Look at the Houston Texans. They're 2-10. Do they believe in David Culley? Do they believe that this is the guy who's going to be someone that they can go ahead and put their head on and go to war with? Look at Urban Meyer. Do people think that he's actually going to make a difference inside of Duval County? Look at Nick Sirianni. People who literally laughed, ha, 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 at him at his press conference because he looked so awkward. They're right in the middle of a playoff hunt because the players are buying into his stock. If you don't have the locker room, you don't have anything. At some point, if you want to be good, and right now, you look at the Chicago Bears, they're sitting at 4-8. They got to win out. They have to win out. And they can. They absolutely can. Green Bay, Minnesota, the Giants, the Seahawks, you can win out. You can go 9-8. But if you're going to go 9-8, you have to elevate the room. You have to find out what the problem is, dissect it, and call it a day. The problem is Matt Nagy. The problem is his play calling. The problem is his aura in the locker room. Time to let him go. Sometimes it's best just to pull the plug. Let's move off of a dark subject to more so a positive one. And I will say homecoming stories always make me really happy. They always do. You know, whenever I see those military homecoming videos, I always get a little choked up. It's wonderful. It is a great sight to see people who are truly loved, missed, returning back to the loved ones. But I look at right now the Miami Hurricanes and how they handled the whole Manny Diaz situation. It was disgusting. It was terrible. But I will say, at the end of the day, what matters is that you're getting the right guy in the building. Mario Cristobal is one of the more underrated coaches in all of college football. I do not think that he's a top 10 coach. I do believe that he is probably a top 11, right on the cusp. I want to see what he can do with a better team, with a more prominent, with a more prominent brand. But he was able to keep Oregon alive. 35-12 in 4 years of play, winning the Pac-12 twice, being able to go for a third straight time, representing the team inside of the Fiesta Bowl, inside of the Rose Bowl, as the Pac-12 representative. That's great. He goes back home to Miami, the 305. They go ahead and get their future coach, who everyone believes is going to make a difference. You know what I love? I love when good college football teams are supposed to be good. Teams like Notre Dame, Oklahoma, USC, Miami. They maybe aren't blue bloods, but they definitely are top-tier markets. Nebraska, we're still waiting for them to come back. Texas, we're still waiting for them to come back. I will say that USC and Miami took a big step in the last few weeks. What they did was they went out and they added great coaches. Coaches who also know how to bring in great coordinators. Coaches who also know how to recruit all across the country. Not just be limited to Oklahoma or be limited to Boise or be limited to somewhere like Lexington, Kentucky. They know how to recruit across the country. They know what they're doing. And I look at how these teams are built. Miami, it's a big metropolitan city. You're going to want to see big major professional sports. Los Angeles, it's a big metropolitan city. You're going to want to see professional sports. You're not going to go pay big time money to go watch college sports where the biggest markets are all about the pros. But when you get the right coach in there, when you get the right name in there, a Lincoln Riley, a Mario Cristobal, two of the best coaches right now in the game, that's a big difference maker. I know that college is all about small schools, small towns, but Miami and USC, they just knocked it out of the park.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Well, it's that time of the day again. Cole's calendar, where we pick the dumb holiday that you have decided to make the national day, narrow it down to one subject, and call it quits right there. Michael, what are our options for? Yeah, unfortunately, there is one day that we have to talk about, so there really isn't one, but let's go ahead, December 7th.
December 7th.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and already name what probably is the holiday, but let's just go ahead and name what are the other options.
Four of them today.
Okay, there's four. That's cool.
World Trick Shot Day.
World Trick Shot Day. Does it mean basketball, soccer, ultimate frisbee, or are we just talking about like all trick shots?
Is the world trick shot of the first the world famous Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, it's Globetrotters, so it's basketball.
It just says perform trick shots.
It honestly should be named National Dude Perfect Day then, because Dude Perfect literally just crushes all the trick shots at home. I mean, have you seen their studio like out in the middle of nowhere, Texas?
Cool.
It is so dope. I would love to just go visit there. Like, that would be like the one place I would love to just to go have fun. I feel like you would be nonstop all day having a good time. Like 100% you'd be having a nonstop fun day. So, all right. Maybe. What else we got?
National Illinois Day.
National Illinois Day?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give it to one state. I never give it to one state. I don't. Not going to happen.
National Cotton Candy Day.
Even the last time you had cotton candy.
I can't remember.
I can't either. I can tell you this much. It was before I was 16. That's all I can say. I have not had cotton candy in over a decade. I have not.
Same here. I just haven't.
Have you ever noticed that cotton candy also, it's really fluffy, but like the second it gets, it like touches actual air, it starts to harden up. So if you don't
eat
it, like
it does.
It becomes like a crunchy kind of stuff. Like, that's not what I was expecting whatsoever. I will say though, like, I do love cotton candy flavored like gum and stuff like that. Like, for some reason, I just do. I think it's really sweet, but it's also kind of good. But no.
And most likely the winner. National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day.
How is it not the winner? Like I mean, honestly, how is it not? Here we go. Because I was waiting for that to drop. I was hopeful that someone was going to say that. Like, I was like sitting there, I was like, oh, come on. Somebody had to have named it at National Pearl Harbor Day. Like, someone had to have. So, I hereby decree National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. On this day in 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor inside of Hawaii. Over 1,000 men perished in the battle on both sides, and it led to our inauguration into World War II. Do not watch the movie Pearl Harbor by Jerry Bruckheimer. All it is a love story. It's very terrible. But if you want to learn more about Pearl Harbor, there are so many more documentaries out there. FDR's speech about a day that will live in infamy still haunts me to this day. One of the greatest speeches during a time of trouble we have ever seen by an American president. I do love that. And again, I am a history buff. This is something that has always enticed me. This is something that has always been inside my brain. I love hearing about Pearl Harbor. I love learning more. And every single year during this day, I try to go ahead and read up, catch up on things that happened because of this war. This was the breaking point for us to join in World War II, and who knows what would have happened if we didn't. But to all those who lost their lives, all those who perished, and all those who woke up on a plane, on a ship, going into work as a nurse, any of those or much, much more, know that we will never forget your sacrifice and your service. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move to a more positive subject, I guess, in that sentence. Rebuilding programs that are already built. And I think that's an important thing to say, because you want to rebuild a program that already has the pieces to be successful. And there's no place better than Notre Dame, who this past year finished 11-1 in what Brian Kelly, now the head coach at LSU, said was a rebuilding year. They were not expected to do much in 2021, let alone win 11 games and go 11-1 with the one loss coming to playoff-bound Cincinnati. Instead, they finished number 5 in the country. They will face off against Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl on January 1st. Going to be a really, really, really good bowl game. And it will be the debut of Marcus Freeman, the new head coach. But Freeman was introduced yesterday at his press conference. And you know what I really walked away knowing? That people are going to love Notre Dame. It's amazing. I grew up in a household with my grandfather, James Hester. Jimbo loved the Fighting Irish. Every single day, he wore a different shirt, different pair of sweatpants, same shoes, same hat. Big old blue with the gold letters of ND. And you know what's funny is that most people actually are just like, ugh, Notre Dame. Ugh, Notre Dame. Disgusting. It's a disgusting program. How dare Notre Dame be good at football? They don't play anybody. You know what people are going to say after Marcus Freeman? Man, Notre Dame. What a cool job. What a cool school. What tradition. The right hire can do so much for a persona of a program. And Brian Kelly, whether you want to admit that he was a bad guy or a bad person, he never fit what Notre Dame truly stood for, even though he was a proven winner. Marcus Freeman kind of does. So, let him tell yourself, who is Marcus Freeman?
I've spoken to a lot of leaders that I respect for any advice on being a first-time head coach, and the answer has all been the same. Just be you. So who is Marcus Freeman? Well, I'm the son of a man who was in the Air Force for 26 years. I'm the son of a woman who was born in Korea that came over here in 1976. But I tell you that because that's who I am. I get my discipline, my work ethic, my honesty from my father. I get my unselfishness and other-centered focus from my mother. And that's exactly how I'll lead this football program. We will be disciplined. We will be tough. We will work tirelessly. But we will do it with the understanding that no one person, no one coach is more important than another.
When you hear his words, when you hear the way he talks and the way that he sounds, you can already tell he's nervous about taking this job. And who wouldn't be? It's Notre Dame football. This is a first-time head coach inside of the college football realm. And by the way, it's at one of the biggest institutions, one of the biggest programs that college football has ever seen. So go ahead and get to meet him. Go ahead and understand his journey. Understand his work ethic, his background, his no-quit attitude. Any one of those little things that help make and define who he is. But what really is interesting to me is what he said about this. It's not about how I coach. It's not about how I yell, how I scream, how I talk to players, how I address you, the media. It's about me being one thing, myself.
I got to be myself, and that's what I told him. Here's the things that I believe we can do to raise the level, to raise the standard, but I'm going to do it the only way I know how, and that's being myself, and that's doing it as a teammate. That's doing it with others. We're going to achieve greatness as a group, as a team. And they accepted it. They accepted it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this thing together as a team.
I look at how he speaks, how he talks, how he is so excited, but keeping his cool demeanor, and how much this truly means to him to be the next head football coach at Notre Dame. All of those things, all of those moments, you look at that, you look at how it goes down. I want to play for Marcus Freeman. Who doesn't want to play for Marcus Freeman? Notre Dame has an opportunity to finish with a top 5 recruiting class in 2022. This will be the first time they finished top 5 in over a decade. They've been a top 10 recruiting class consistently. But top 5? That doesn't really happen that often. And it really can't happen that often. Because Notre Dame has so many stipulations that go into the hiring process, that go into the recruiting process for players. Not only do you have to win academically, but you also have to win athletically. And I didn't switch that. That's on purpose that way. But if you're a player who had to decide right now between LSU and Ole Miss and Georgia and Clemson and Florida and Miami and USC, and you listen to Wayne that he talks about, his program, his future, the goals, but more importantly, his why. Who is his why? Simple. The players.
My current and former players, you are my why. You are my motivation. You are the reason I get up every day and work as hard as I can. To see you all reach your goals, to see you all set a goal and live out a dream is what gives me my inspiration every day to do what I do.
You don't need to worry about how long it takes. You don't need to worry about how soon it will come. You don't need to worry about what to expect in the future, in the immediate one. You have to worry about what comes in the present, and you also have to worry about what comes in the long-term goals. The present is that players already on staff have vouched and bought into the culture that Marcus Freeman has set well before he's even taken a play call as a head coach. People are already guaranteed sold on what he can bring to the table. You already look at what people are saying around the NFL, around college football, around the league, all of that and much, much more. People buy into the stock. People are buying into what he says. And he's an elite recruiter. Add all those things together. What does that scream? National championship on the horizon. Buy it now. Get your stock. Place your bets. Marcus Freeman will win a national title before he leaves South Bend, Indiana. Book it. Now, another program that needed to go ahead and find its new head coach because someone left was Oklahoma, who added in Brent Venables, the longtime defensive coordinator at the University of Clemson. Now, Venables is a guy who has definitely been around the block. He's 50 years old, coaching for 30 years, had immense success at Oklahoma as the defensive coordinator at the early time of the Big 12, had immense success with Clemson over the last 10 years. But you look at a guy like Venables, and it's all about, for him, location, it's all about timing, and it's all about where it is. And he basically came out and said it. Oklahoma, it's a special place.
This is Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is a special place, and there's a lot of incredible coaches out there, and that's where I have as much respect for the coaching profession. A lot of options, lots of choices.
Yeah, there was a lot of options, there was a lot of choices, and that's exactly what he is talking about. You do realize that in the past 5 years, he has been offered multiple jobs to go ahead and take, multiple opportunities to go be a head coach somewhere else, but instead turned it down. Was offered Missouri when Gary Pinkel left, was offered South Carolina, was offered an opportunity to go to Auburn, was offered an opportunity to go back to his alma mater in Kansas State. Turned them all down. Wasn't the right fit. Maybe it was because if he just didn't know the area. Maybe it was because if he just didn't know what to expect. Maybe it was because if he just didn't know what to make of where he would be and how long he could be there and how successful he could be there. But at Oklahoma, he calls it his quote-unquote comfort zone.
Getting out of your comfort zone, and we know in our different professions, it's one of the hardest things that you can go through. And so for me, that was a very hard transition. I thought, oh, I'm Johnny Supercoach. I've got all this incredible pedigree and resume and association. Man, I'm this, you know, a hotshot coach. I'm a winner. And what I learned at 40 years old in a very humbling way is you got to start over. And you got to start over with relationships. You can't bring your street cred with you. You have to earn that. It takes a lot of work, whether that's with players or with colleagues. It also gave me an opportunity just to kind of scale everything down and build it from scratch from the X and O standpoint.
It is not a complete and total rebuild at Oklahoma, but there is work that needs to be made. There is ground that needs to be laid, and there is success that will only come when the foundation is in place. The Sooners are moving to the SEC. When you look at the SEC, it's a dominant defensive conference. So for Oklahoma to go get a defensive mind, a right defensive head, somebody who understands how to recruit the type of players that you see on Sundays in the NFL, because that's all you look for if you're in the SEC, somebody who knows how to sell a program that is going into a whole new regime, going into a whole new conference, resetting the tools and resetting the culture, was always the key. To get somebody like Brent Venables to turn down job after job after job after job and finally wait for the right moment, wait for the right job. You know that he's going to give it his all. You know he's going to give it everything he has. And he'll spend hour on hour on hour on end before calling it quits. Believe in Marcus Freeman. Believe in Brent Venables. Believe in first-time defense coordinators. they're going to be successful. You can book that. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day here on Just Saying It. Know your worth. Know all of your worth. And at the end of the day, go ahead and walk away and feel better about yourself. Because nobody probably feels better about themselves this morning than Quinn Ayers, former five-star recruit out of South Lake Carroll, Texas, and a former Ohio State quarterback. I say former because he has entered the transfer portal. And I talk about former five-star recruit because of even though he was expected to be in this year's upcoming draft recruiting class, expected to be a 2022 recruit, he reclassified himself because of the new NIL deals and his high school and the high school UIL rules would not allow him to be a millionaire at 18 years old. Instead, he goes away to Ohio State, makes over $1 million by taking not one, but two snaps all season long and is now paid top dollar to go to whatever college he wants for the next four seasons as a potential starter. Texas Tech, TCU, and Texas are in the running. This is how we talk about marquee branding, marquee programming. This is top-notch quality. That does it for me. I'll be back here on Hump Day to break down more of the NBA and NFL. Have a good Tuesday, everyone. Later!